This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Hello, we are back. We're here today with a special little mini Kit and Krista podcast.
It's an emergency edition of the podcast.
Call the red phone. We are very excited about what we just saw in the gameplay demonstration by the one and only Mr. Aonuma himself. So we want to talk about it.
Yes, we've watched the new video. We've already done a reaction for that. You should watch that if you haven't. But we just had so many thoughts after looking at it again and again that we had to come back here and do this special podcast for you all.
Yes.
Why don't we just start with our instant gut reactions? How did you feel about this?
Yeah. How did I feel? I felt really good about this, honestly. And, you know, we don't know before this, we really knew nothing about sort of what is going to be differentiated from Breath of the Wild from a gameplay perspective. We've seen these short little kind of piecemeal trailers that doesn't give you a lot of information. So it was really nice to just sit down with Mr. Aonuma and just see like a chunk of something that you're doing as the player in the game. What we saw, I think we both really liked and were pretty excited about. And it does sort of have that spirit of Breath of the Wild experimentation and playing the game how you want to play it. And I'm glad to see that spirit is alive and well for Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah, I thought this was great. I think we both had, I think, the right expectations for this going in.
Yeah.
It's only 10 minutes. There's only so much you can show. We know that this is a team that likes to keep things close to the vest. So we were not expecting them to just tick off every box of everything we wanted to see.
Sure.
But what we did see was really cool. We saw some really intriguing new gameplay mechanics, which we're going to talk about a lot more in depth. We did get to see the breadth of the sky areas of Hyrule now, which seem to be very substantial. It definitely got me hyped for the game in a way that I wasn't before. I was just kind of like, yeah, that game's coming out soon and I'm going to play it and I'm going to like it. But I wasn't really like counting down the days. Like I'm very excited for this game now.
Yeah, agreed. Now I'm just like in my own head, I'm thinking like, oh, how would I like tinker around?
Meat arrows. That is the answer.
I definitely want to do a
game
meat
with
arrow.
A meat arrow. Speed run with a meat arrow.
Naked with
naked
a meat
Link
arrow.
Meat arrow.
Not naked Link with a meat arrow.
Wish I hadn't said that.
Thumbs up. That's the instant reaction.
Yes.
Yeah, no, but I think we're both really like happy about
that. Yeah.
About what we saw today.
Right. So as we said, we did these predictions yesterday and I want to go kind of prediction by prediction and just see how we did.
Yeah.
Because it's always fun to do.
Yeah. Were we right?
First prediction was getting some sort of an explanation of what does Tears of the Kingdom mean? Because it's something that has been like teased, like, oh, this is important.
Yeah.
This is a big deal. We didn't get this at all.
We did not get this. And I think this relates to what we were talking about before, where that team was so reluctant to reveal the name Breath of the Wild because they thought it was going to be a spoiler. I can tell that they're just really like, they've shut the iron door on any story thing, any spoiler that has to do with the story at all, which I think is going back to this name. And they're just like, no, we're just not touching that at all.
Yeah.
Pre-launch. So
yeah, so that kind of bleeds into the next prediction, which was like a 1 to 2 sentence setup of just like, what is the premise of this game story wise? Like, you know, it's X years have passed since Breath of the Wild, or this thing has happened to create this new world. No, there was none of that. It was like, let's just jump into the gameplay and you can see it. So
I was right and you were wrong, because I said that he was just going to be like, now Link is in the sky, which is exactly what he said, like almost verbatim. And we got no story at all, which is exactly what I predicted.
I'm realizing I didn't do so great on these predictions.
I am looking
at them right here. So it seems like the whole story is just like, do not touch, do not share anything. Is it really going to be that great? The story? I don't play these games for the story. I like a good story, but they're really like, is this like the second coming of great literature or great film, great interactive entertainment?
I will say that I was a smidgen disappointed in the Breath of the Wild story, because it wasn't as much of a focus as I would have liked, because they had so many setups with that memory, with those memories about like this truly emotional story that I love those, but they were very like sort of few and far between.
Yeah.
So I am really hopeful that the story will be much more forefront in Tears of the Kingdom. And the way that they are being so cagey about the story. And I have some other like theories about this that we can discuss in a little bit, but I just feel like the way that they're treating this in a very like, even more so than they usually are, in like a very, you know, like don't touch this kind of way. Like, it just makes me think that there is a lot to the story that they want to preserve for the player. So I'm hopeful, and that's what I really want. So I'm going to put those manifestations up.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like they're being probably a little bit too precious with it, but again, I don't care that much about it. So it's not a big deal for me.
You don't care about Link and Zelda?
I care. But again, like I'm not coming to this game for the story alone. It's like the story is a nice secondary thing for me. I want to glue things together.
You don't.
That's what I want to do.
Care about Zelda?
The next prediction: shrines we would see, but no information on dungeons. This was another big.
We didn't see
either of those.
Not a single shrine between
us. The dungeons thing is becoming like a major wedge in the Zelda community, where it's like, if this game doesn't have dungeons, I'm gonna flip out.
Yeah.
And I wonder if this is like a generational thing where like the older classic Zelda fans, of which I am one, but I don't associate with this, like need these, or they feel like this is not a proper Zelda game. And then there's other people who came up with Breath of the Wild and are like, yeah, this is just what a Zelda game is now. You got to move on, Jack.
I don't know. I'm a hardcore old school Zelda fan, obviously. I love puzzles. I love dungeons. I love the classic dungeons. But I didn't really find myself I didn't feel like a huge part of my soul was like carved out because I didn't have a dungeon in Breath of the Wild. I felt pretty satiated with the way that they had sort of shrines and sort of those bigger guardian things. So I don't know. I mean, but I do feel like this is like a big deal to a lot of people. We did see some like interesting, like Link going through like a solid surface, like porting through
The ascend mechanic.
The ascend. Thank you.
Right.
That does strike. I think it struck both of us, but it does strike us. Strike me as like a dungeon puzzle mechanic.
Totally.
Like, this could be your,
yeah,
your magnetic boots in the water temple all over again.
Exactly.
Let's hope not. Actually, that's terrible. Yeah. So.
I mean, shrines, dungeons, like you need something puzzly to, you know, to pay off all these mechanics in a puzzle, non-combat way. So
sure,
I'm fine with whatever they choose, but that is some of the comments that I've seen getting more and more like desperate,
irritated.
From
yeah. Yeah, definitely. I feel that too for the people that want the dungeons.
We were right about this one. This was like the first thing you see Link going from the ground to the sky.
I really thought that mechanic was going to be, or I thought that reveal was going to be some mind blowing thing. Like, wow, that's how he does it.
It was neat.
But it was just a rock elevator. I was like, oh,
that's cool.
That's very practical. I thought it was going to be like, oh, you get on the back of a dragon. And then
they did say there's a number of ways to do it. I mean, you can build a vehicle. You could probably get up there that way. We did see later on a bokoblin being carried around by a bird. Maybe you can get carried around by a bird. I don't know.
Yeah, a dinosaur. It was like a pterodactyl, like carrying off a bokoblin. Funny, yeah. It's pretty funny, yeah.
Explanation of what happened to Link's arm and what you can do with this. This is kind of like a half point for us.
Halfsies, yeah. Link's so messed up arm.
What happened to the arm? Who knows? We'll never know.
But he's definitely using the arm to do all sorts of crazy stuff. Like you can see the arm being used to do some of the abilities that we saw in the gameplay.
Yeah, that was a theory you had, was that is now the Sheikah Slate, and that seems to be right because in the upper left screen where those Sheikah Slate abilities were,
it's just a hand.
It's a hand.
It's a messed up looking hand.
So it seems like that's just the mechanism that's giving Link these powers, which is cool.
I want to see somebody with an arm tattoo that matches.
Oh, that's going to happen.
That is going to look so cool.
Why don't you get it?
No, I'm too scared of needles. too chicken to get a tattoo. But they should totally. They should. Totally
Doug Bowser, get this tattoo if you're committed.
Doug Bowser,
if you're committed to this game being a smash hit, get this tattoo.
Company,
yes.
Get the tattoo.
our last prediction was, again, we had this feeling that them saying roughly 10 minutes of gameplay left some air at the beginning and the end for them to talk about other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we were saying, if they're going to do these things, they probably need to announce them soon. Hardware and DLC.
Yeah.
So we saw the system, the OLED system, Pro controller we saw, and also a Switch case. All looked very nice.
Beautiful. Yeah, so pretty much right on what we predicted. We didn't get DLC, but I think that can come probably relatively soon as well.
Yeah.
The system looks really cool, and I think it's really beautiful. So great job.
I now have a new feeling about how they're approaching DLC. So when I worked on Breath of the Wild, the reason that they were, you know, the reason I felt this way was they were really pushing, like, we need to announce this, you know, right away before the game comes out. Let's get people to buy it when they're buying the game. So I felt like they might just follow that again. But here, I'm thinking maybe, you know, as we're getting deep into the Switch life cycle, maybe the library is going to start to dwindle. Like, that is a big thing that they can put out, you know, in 3 months, 6 months to get people into this.
It could be like something that they do around the holiday time. So they'll announce it later, like during, you know, the E3 timeframe or something like that, as a way to entice people to stick with the Switch.
Right.
And just boost the game a little bit later on this year. So that does make sense. We'll be on the lookout for that. But I think there is going to be DLC, and it's going to probably get announced in the next couple months here.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Why don't we just dig into some of these new abilities that we saw and talk about those a little bit more?
Yeah.
So Recall was the first one that we saw, and that was how Link got into the sky.
Right. The rock elevator.
Where you could see something falling out of the sky, and you could basically reverse its course.
Right.
I think that's neat. I wonder, like, to what extent can you... Like, how many other things can you do this to? Like, can you reverse time on anything that you see? That's kind of where my mind went with it.
Like a rewind. It did look like what he was recalling was the exact path that it was on. So if something fell from a specific spot, you're only going back up, reversing it in a specific spot as well. So
right.
Yeah, I do wonder what the limitations of that is. And if it will be available for other things in the world, or is it just to traverse the sky and the land?
That seems like a very specific usage if you're just putting rocks back into the sky. So I feel like there might be something more there.
Yeah, exactly. Just like how the other Sheikah Slate abilities, you could freely use those or use your imagination to and combine abilities to do things. I wonder if that is going to be similar here as well.
Yeah. And then the next one that we saw, and this was like the majority of the rest of the presentation, was Fuse.
Right.
Which was this great new mechanic where you can combine, you know, weapons and items that you find in the environment to create something entirely new and different.
Yeah, that was super fun to see. And again, your mind just goes to all of the possibilities and the ways that you could experiment with that ability. So again, I love how that spirit of experimentation is truly alive and well in this game. Yeah, we saw some really like zany stuff, like I like when he attached the big rock to the stick and it became sort of this like mallet kind of weapon. And also, you know, attaching the pitchfork to the stick made it like really long. So it was really, it kind of had a bit of humor a little bit to it too. The weapons were definitely like a bit handmade and you know, not like a traditional sword or spear or something like that, at least what we saw. So it was kind of cool to see just like you picking up stuff off the ground and making it into like these different zany weapons.
Yeah. I wonder if this was kind of one of their solutions to the destructible weapons, which I know some people aren't that fond of, because they did talk about how like you can bolster the durability of a weapon by fusing it. They were also saying you can, if you're struggling with combat, this is a way really early on to get a more powerful weapon instead of having to take down a more powerful enemy. So it seems like they're looking at this feature from a number of different ways, not just, you know, let people put things together, but also maybe make the game a bit more accessible because they know a lot of people are going to get this.
Exactly. I think so. I mean, the Switch audience is so big now, and there probably are people that didn't play Breath of the Wild, so they are trying to make it like an easy way in
for people. And again, you know, my mind went to like, well, what is the limit of this? I was looking for some sort of thing on the HUD of like a bar that would fill up of like, mm-hmm. all right, you've exceeded
the amount of items things,
you've hit the limit. But they showed so many examples and so many different variations on it that it seems really, really flexible, which is really exciting, because this is, I mean, the things that we saw people doing in Breath of the Wild, it's just going to be like exponential with this game.
That's what I want to see.
Coming up with stuff.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQBar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQBar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm so excited, because I'm like, oh, this is perfect, because I know someone's going to figure out some zany combination that no one's ever thought of. And it's going to be like these fun videos that we'll get to see and people defeating enemies or solving puzzles in crazy ways. And that's my favorite part about Breath of the Wild. And I think it's going to be like even more in this game.
Right.
I also did get the sense that this whole like prehistoric nature to the game is sort of being like paid off in these weapons. So like this whole demo, you didn't see Link with like a traditional sword. He had a shield. But it's almost like kind of like a caveman sort of.
You really bought into this caveman Link thing.
I really am. Especially seeing the, like, it's like, that's what a caveman would do. A caveman would attach a rock to a stick to make like a hammer, you know, or like
right.
That's what they did, like in real life. So I wonder if that is a part of the reason why the fusing and that all that stuff exists, because of the timeline or whatever.
Okay, that's interesting.
So I was interested in that and wondering why he's picking stuff off the ground and making it into weapons, you know?
The one other thing Mr. Onuma said was that you will see enemies also having fused weapons.
Yeah.
So you saw that enemy that had like that fan type weapon.
And then swept him right off the edge.
So do they, I mean, if that was a power from Link's hand, do these enemies also have this power somehow? How are they getting these fused weapons? I was wondering that.
Well, in that last trailer, Zelda did say, lend him your power. And that's when we saw the messed up hand.
Oh, wow.
So
it
could be a power that exists within the Zonai, which is these prehistoric guardians in Breath of the Wild that we saw as enemies in this trailer. And
very interesting.
Maybe the Zonai have this sort of ancient power that they were able to lend to Link, but at a price.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what I think. Because that hand looks messed up. So I'm like, is it going to take over his body and he's going to become like an evil thing?
I really like the combat in Breath of the Wild, but this could be a fun new layer of like some enemy just coming up on you with this. I've never seen this combination. What is this?
Yeah,
what does this do? I got to figure this out. That could be
really cool. Wonder if there's going to be other types of like bigger Breath of the Wild type enemies that can do this and it would just
Lionel.
Make that combat. I know. I was thinking Lionel.
Yeah,
absolutely. I was thinking
got like 19 swords.
Yeah,
glued together.
He's gonna poke you with four pitchforks connected with a rock. I mean, it's gonna be bad.
Yeah. So the next thing we saw was the Ultra Hand, which I'm a bit unclear on the difference between the Fuse and the Ultra Hand.
Mm-hmm.
It seems Fuse is specific to weapons, items, shields, and the Ultra Hand is more for creating vehicles. But it seems.
Yeah.
The core idea of both is the same, of putting things together.
You're sticking things together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we saw Link make a boat by taking some logs and putting sort of a fan on it. There were a number of variations that got shown quickly, and there were the things that were shown in the previous trailer. Mr. Onuma said, this is how those got made. So there was also kind of a raft that had fans facing the other way. That when you activated those,
it
would fly up, which looked really neat.
There was like a hot air balloon kind of looking one. So you must have been, you must be able to attach all just these different kind of elements together in a way to propel yourself around the world, which is super cool. I think this is a very interesting take on the idea of vehicles in a game. Sort of this unconventional way of traveling around or getting places seems to be like a big theme. And I like it. I think it's cool. It's like a very like Lego kind of like if you can dream it, you can build it and then you can get places. And that seems pretty cool.
Yeah. I wonder how easy this is going to be to use. I'm sure some of the more elaborate builds are not going to be for, you know, Joe Casual to make, and I'm sure the game will have some tutorials and there'll be some moments where everything you need is like laid out there.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there were, again, the creativity of the community of like, I ran across Hyrule to bring this thing back to make this one of a kind vehicle.
Right. To get
to
this place that no one could get to because I was able to like do some crazy like mechanic with the vehicles.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's like I split the atom in Breath of the in Tears of the Kingdom because I found this crazy combination that nobody thought of. I've created like nuclear energy.
I wonder if you gave this game to like Mensa level physicists, what would they do with it? Like, could they like, you know, come up with stuff that we can't? Because I do think that if the game allows you to, like, that possibility would be pretty cool.
Like
to
that's
see
like immediately like. When the game comes out on YouTube, it's like, here's 10 vehicles you didn't think of.
I know.
Like, Like you just,
or give
you
it to an actual car maker. Like give it to like Porsche.
An engineer
and see
or
what
something.
Their engineers.
Right.
Yeah. I want to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Engineers everywhere. We're calling you. Do this.
So ultimately I still wonder like, what is the difference between Fuse and Ultra Hand? I guess it doesn't really matter. But it's just more of this big idea, on the game of using creativity to create more stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So the last named mechanic we saw was Ascend, which we mentioned earlier, which was where you can go through a ceiling.
Yes.
When we first saw, so I went back and watched it again. I first thought you had to see that icon on a ceiling for that to be an available power.
I think it's whenever you see a ceiling, you can impose that icon.
Yeah. So
and then
the quote that I wrote down, the exact quote, as long as there's a ceiling, you can use it anywhere. So.
Right.
That's a big difference from what I first thought it was.
Yeah. And not only a ceiling, but like a cave, which was what he showed at the very end of that, where you go through the cave and you end up on top of the mountain. So instead of having to use your stamina to climb, you could just go through it instead, which is
interesting. This was a thing where the immediate purpose of it was not super obvious to me. I was like, I guess that's nice, but I don't know if I'll be using it as much, but I'm sure just getting around, I'm sure they will be building the world and these places to like, no, you'll want to use this and it'll make your life easier.
Or maybe there's places where you simply cannot climb that high.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you there's no ledge for you to rest the stamina bar and you must use it to get to that to location.
Rivali's Gale? Is there no more Rivali's Gale because I've got to send?
Rivali is not here because he's not.
Rivali's Gale was my go-to move.
You really like Rivali's Gale. I love that one. You remember that upgraded one was really nice too. I was like, you could go really, you can get really high.
Places. Yeah.
You can go places.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So yeah, I'm kind of curious to see more implementations of that because I feel like I'm not fully grasping how big that is going to be in the game.
Yeah. I definitely think it's going to be like essential for some dungeon or some puzzle or something.
Yeah. So then the last thing we saw was Link just jumping off one of these platforms and skydiving.
Like free diving?
For like 20 or 30 seconds and going plop in a lake. Which
big old splash.
This may have been the thing that excited me the most, actually.
Yeah, you seem really, really into that.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I've always liked doing that in games of like going to a high place.
And jumping off.
And jumping off or using that to get somewhere else. Like games like Crackdown, like I really love doing that.
Oh, okay.
So
interesting.
It just excites me. And it did give me a feeling, because you got a good view in that moment of all the other sky islands scattered about there.
That's the part I like the most.
It gave me a real Wind Waker feel of... Yeah. I'm gonna go to all these places. I'm gonna have little adventures on each of these. There's gonna be stuff I can get, and that's gonna be super fun.
You're gonna have so much to discover. Like the world when he was diving down just looked so big, and so vast that it just gave you the sense of like, oh my gosh, I have so much to explore. That's my favorite part. I'm like, the diving is cool looking, but more so I just like seeing the world from that vantage point.
Right.
Because then you just know like, oh man, it's going to be a lot to do and a lot of fun.
Yeah. Maybe I'm alone in feeling that excitement. I was like, yes, you can just
you
jump
were really
off.
Excited.
I love that. That's just really fun.
Popped off.
I did.
You should go skydiving for reals if you really like that.
Yeah. Wow, if you really like it so much, go skydiving. Yeah, maybe.
If you really like it, just do it for reals.
All right. So that was kind of everything that we saw mechanics-wise, which, I mean, I guess that's a lot to squeeze into 10 minutes, honestly.
Yeah.
After I watched the video, I went online to see how people were feeling about this.
Sure.
And it was a bit more of a mixed reaction than I was expecting. That certainly didn't match my own experience. I was really excited by this and I thought it was great, but there were still a lot of people saying feels like DLC, or I'm not getting that special feeling I did with the first game, or is there really nothing new on the ground level? And there were, I mean, this was mixed with a lot of people being really excited and really liking what they saw, but I'm just wondering, like, for those skeptical fans, was this enough?
Yeah, that's a good question, because while I personally loved this, and I mean, I'm not a skeptical fan. I was going to get this game anyway. So for me, I'm going into it with a very different mindset where it's like, I'll just take any new information about this game, like anything that is going to set this apart or give me an insight into what is new. Like, I'm here for it. But I get it for people that are skeptical, because it is very focused on a singular gameplay mechanic. And it doesn't touch upon, you know, the wider universe or timeline where this is set, or, you know, big new reveals that people have been waiting for, like dungeons. So I think if you're looking at it from that perspective, if you as a skeptical person we're waiting for confirmation on those things. This may have been a little bit disappointing because it was so focused on like a singular thing that you can do.
I saw our friend Jeff Grubb making a good point, which was this team, as talented as it is, probably couldn't create an entirely new game world and an entirely new set of game mechanics.
Yeah,
and they made the choice to add some new world stuff, mostly in the sky, but really go heavy on introducing the new mechanics because that's what made the game so unique in conjunction with the world. And I understand that, and I think that's a really good point. These fans that are feeling disappointed, I think they really are going to need to wait until the game comes out to find out for themselves, because he said right away, if I was to show you everything new, I could take all day. And yeah. I believe him on that.
I do too.
So people who really want to see the breadth of the changes and what's new, we're certainly not going to get it in the time we have left. Mm-hmm. So I think they're just going to have to like white knuckle the last, you know, month or so to go and see for themselves.
Exactly. And I think that this is deliberate from this team as well, because so much of your experience of your, you know, what you're going to feel, like the thing that the sparkly feeling that you're going to feel when you play this game is going to hinge on these moments of surprise and these moments of, you know, you discovering for yourself what's possible in this game. Because we don't have that element that Breath of the Wild had of being the first one like this. So I think they're doing it very deliberately as a way to like preserve that for the player, or else I think you would be disappointed going in if you saw everything.
Yeah, I think for them, this was mission accomplished of we showed enough to show that this is a really new and different game, get people excited, get the almighty pre-orders moving. But yeah, there will always be people who are wondering or are not totally clicking with it. This was one of our big predictions for the year back in January, was like, this game will disappoint some people if your expectations are that it's going to blow Breath of the Wild out of the water, which honestly is not possible, given, you know, how enormous that game was, the time that game came out, and how different it was before.
Yeah.
So it is interesting, though, to see this persistent pessimism around this game. And, you know, you wonder if, like, are some people just kind of making that their whole identity online of, like, I'm the skeptical Zelda guy, which is possible. But, I know Nintendo is intensely analyzing the sentiment.
Oh, absolutely.
And what changed from today versus previous. Mm-hmm. I do think this moved the needle, though.
I mean, people were so hungry at this point for anything that it absolutely moved the needle. Because, yeah, when you starve somebody for this long and you give them a cookie, they're going to like it a little bit, you know?
Right.
So I definitely think that this helped to answer some questions, you know, at least when you ask somebody like, well, what makes this game different than Breath of the Wild? You have one thing that's very tangible.
Yeah, you can clearly
say, well, these new abilities make this different than Breath of the Wild.
Right,
which is a good thing. I do wonder about these skeptics too, where it is sort of like a cage of your own making from a development standpoint, because you made Breath of the Wild a game that was so, so, so incredibly good that that bar, again, is just like really high, you know? It's like you kind of, like, what can you do, you know, to surpass that? You're going to disappoint some people that will say that you will never be able to surpass it. And that's just kind of reality, I think. So that's something that maybe people who are skeptical and even like development teams or people at Nintendo need to like come to terms with, because it's just the reality of the situation.
I do keep coming back to this like schism, but with the really traditionalist Zelda fans. And, you know, when we had A Link Between Worlds, Mr. Aonuma started to become very open about breaking the conventions of Zelda.
Yeah.
And that's what he started to do in that game. And he fully did in this game. And I don't know if those conventions are ever completely coming back.
Yeah.
Like, I think we will still get games that feel like classic Zelda, But they're kind of on a new path now.
They really are. Yeah. And, you know, it's it you're going to have to decide whether to get on the path or not.
Yeah.
But it's very it's undeniable that this path does resonate with a huge,
right,
you know, contingent.
The reason they had to do that, because Zelda was in a really shaky place.
It was in a rut.
Before Breath of the Wild came out. Like, I remember I participated in some of the market research that we did before Breath of the Wild, and it was on some thin ice. Like, yeah. People were not super aware of the series, mm-hmm, beyond those who grew up with it. It was not stacking up well against other, like, quote, modern games it was competing against. So I think that's something people need to keep in mind as we, you know, get deeper and deeper into this series.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So what do we think comes next? Again, we've got like a month and change before this game comes out. Does this stick a fork in any hopes of a Tears of the Kingdom Direct?
I think it does.
I think it does too, yeah.
I think we're cooked. I think there's no more sort of presentation style information dumps on this game moving forward. The team will be expected to market the game using what was shown in this 10 minutes of gameplay. Maybe we'll get another trailer a little bit closer to launch. But I think this is it. I think that we'll have to wait out the rest of this without really any new info.
Yeah, I agree. I do think they might let some media see the game and play the game in an extremely controlled way. So we might see some variations on the mechanics, the areas that we have seen so far. That would be a relatively easy thing for them to do in the next month or so. But as far, mm-hmm, as them revealing more on the game that we didn't already know about, yeah, I don't think it's happening. I think this is
they
it.
Might just play the same 10 minutes that Mr. Aonuma played. Is the demo.
That's what you can see. That's what you can do.
Yeah. And so, they can maybe experiment a little bit in the areas that he was in, but that's pretty much
right. Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, what a fun day it's been.
I know. And it's your birthday today, which is the most important.
The biggest news of all.
The most important announcements. Little Zelda stuff. Who cares?
Who cares?
Yes. So watch this video and go wish kid a happy birthday.
Awesome. Well, thanks everybody for going deep on the new video. We are on patreon.com/kittenkrista. If you would like to support everything that we're doing on this here channel, you can check us out. And we'll be back with a full installment of the Kit and Krista podcast very soon this week.
Yeah. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye. Right.
Bye.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition. Great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.